Praise God. I'm glad to be here again. On KRAJ 100.9 FM, Gospel for the Glory of Jesus, and He is the one that deserves all the glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for another day of life, for allowing us the privilege of being able to know that You are God and You are God all by Yourself. Thank You for Jesus that You allowed to die on the cross for us. And thank You for sending Your Holy Spirit to help us every day through this thing called life. And we appreciate what You're doing, Lord. Bless the world, Lord, all the things that are taking place. But, Lord, we know You are moving us toward judgment. But, Lord, we know that You want us to enjoy our lives, too. So we appreciate all You're doing. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today I want to talk about a little bit, if we can. I have a lot of scripture, but in so little time, we want to discuss how important it is for us as Christians to grow in our faith so that we can be about fulfilling our purpose in life. We're here for a reason. We're here to become more like Christ, become Christ-like. So we want to be able to, the only way we can be like Him is to think like Him and to talk like Him and walk like Him. It means it has to be a transformation in our lives, because most of us are basically guided by our basic human nature, which the Bible calls our flesh. In other words, we allow our outer man to rule our inner man, that is, our spiritual man. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body, and our soul pretty much is our mind and our heart and our emotions and all those things that pertain to us living here on this earth. But being able to enjoy not only the world, but God also. We are a living soul, created by Him through the breath of God. When God molded us and shaped us as this clay and made us after His own image and blew into us, into our nostrils, the breath of God, the ruach, that we might be able to live and be animated and even be able to please Him and astound the world with the things that He has created us to do. But sin came into the world and destroyed our image. But yet and still, God was faithful and loving and kind and said, I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to bring them back to where they need to be. So He allowed Christ to die for us on the cross. And I'm so thankful that He did. But there's something that happens with us when we come into a knowledge of Christ. And you must be born again, is what the Bible says in John chapter 3, and John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That we all need to know that God wanted us to have the knowledge and information that it takes to have everlasting life. And so knowing that, He left His Bible here. And this Bible is such a remarkable book, 66 books. All made with, I can't remember how many authors, 34 authors, I'm pretty sure, but 66 books, and they all are a continuation from Genesis, each book picking up and then dropping off and picking up and dropping off, and letting us know that these authors were, it's not just 66 individual books, it's one book, all of them put together by God through different authors. Yet the same spiritual mind that flows through it and that speaks the truth to us, that we might be able to know how to please God, how to know Him, how to live for Him, how to be a creative being like He is. He expects a lot of us, out of us, but many times we fall short because we are people, a lot of us are people who just want to dwell on the earth. We just want to be earth dwellers. We just want to live here. And we don't want to please God. We get all of our satisfaction out of the world. And it's so sad because God has put us here with an imperative and a purpose to not only to be in the world, but not to be of the world. You say, well, how can I be in the world and not of the world? Well, it's just like sitting in a rowboat. The boat is on the water, but it's not in the water is not in the boat. It's able to navigate and move all around the lake or the river or wherever it's going on water, and do what it has to do in transporting people to different places. But if it allows the water to get in the boat, it will sink. And a lot of us Christians have allowed the world to get into us, and that's what causes us to sink and not be able to do what God has called us to do. And that is to have our minds transformed. And then Jesus said so that we could be overcomers in the world, because he was an overcomer also. So I'm going to start off at 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's talking about God's call and choice in regards to us getting his divine power and how we can have it. Verse 3 of chapter 1, after he gives an introduction, he says, Peter says this, that God's divine, I'm in the Good News Bible, God's divine power has given us everything we need to live a truly religious life through our knowledge of the one who called us to share in his own glory and goodness. In other words, God's already given us, he's equipped us to be able to do it. He's given us the power, it's inside of us. In this way, he has given us the very great and precious gifts he promised, so that by means of these gifts, you may escape from the destructive lust that is in the world and may come to share the divine nature. Now, let's look at this thing called a gift. A gift is something that's given to us from someone, and a gift is not like a talent. A talent is for us. Now, we're just talking spiritually now. I'm talking spiritually, and we're talking about us as human beings. Many of us are born with different gifts, those gifts and those talents, well, the talents, I'm just talking about the talents right now. The talents are innate abilities that God has given you from your birth that you can do naturally. Your mind and your body are coordinated enough to do certain things. Some people come right out being able to sing or play the piano or some musical instrument. And that is, it's a gift also, but a talent is something you can do without a lot of practice or a lot of engagement, involvement. Whereas a gift is something that's given, but it has to be engaged. It has to be developed. It has to be exploited. If I gave my friend Melvin a bicycle, and he says, "I love this bicycle. Thank you, Bishop Todd, for this bicycle." And I said, "You're welcome." And Mel takes that bicycle and puts it in the garage and looks at it every day. He said, "Wow, this is such a nice gift." And he has to go to the store. He walks to the store, but he's got a bicycle with a basket on it. He could ride his bicycle. But if he never uses the bicycle, if he never engages in regards to this wonderful gift that's been given to him, or if I gave him a brand new Stingray, brand new Corvette, and he looks at the car and he pushes it around to everybody. "Look at my new Corvette that Pastor Todd gave me." And they're looking at him like, "What's wrong with you?" And that's what God is doing. He's looking at him, why isn't he developing, driving this car, this wonderful car? Well, God's done the same thing. He's given us gifts as Christians. But those gifts need to be developed. They need to be harnessed. They need to be looked at. He gives us, when we are born again, he gives us love, power, and a sound mind. And in each one of those, they need to be engaged fully by us. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us to learn how to use those wonderful gifts. And there are some people who just are not fruitful. They just will not grow the fruit that God wants them to grow. And those fruit are, we talked about these things in Galatians 5. Love, joy, patience, sound mind, all those things. But some of us still, after 20 years, still haven't forgiven somebody for something they did in 1905. I kind of went far in that estimate. But anyway, 1962, we still haven't engaged the gift of love so that we can be a forgiving people. And so that shows that we're living in darkness. and we're blind. So let me finish this scripture before I preach too far and then my time is gone. It looks here, it says, so a gift is something that you have to develop. I mean, it can be given to you, yes, but it's to be used. Not like those ties that we get that we don't like and we hang them up on a hanger somewhere and never use them. But I'm talking about the kind of gifts that God gives us, the ability to do great things, to ignore people who get on our last nerve. That's a gift of patience that God gives us, but some of us never use it. Anyway, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Number 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. For this very reason, do your best to add goodness to your faith. Now, God, here's some of the things we have to do. He's given us faith. He says, okay, add goodness to it. Don't just be a faithful person and be no good. That's just ridiculous. That's just anti-Christian. To be a bad Christian. To be without no goodness in you. Just to be no good. No good. You know, no good. Anyway, I had a flashback with Martin. Anyway, to your goodness, add knowledge. Part of being a Christian is to be knowledgeable of God's truths. That's why we study. That's why we go to Sunday school. That's why we go to Bible study, to gain knowledge. Not only about the different doctrines and teachings so that we can help others, but knowledge of God. 6. To your knowledge, now again, it said to that gift, to your knowledge, add self-control. Wow. You mean we need to control ourselves? Yes, we do, because our bodies will get out of control in a heartbeat. They will do that. They'll do anything they think they're big enough to do. And they sometimes, our bodies think they are in charge, and they're not. The body is not in charge. It should be the spirit in us, and we should give out the spirit, the Holy Spirit, charge over our spirit. And that has to be because we call that being a surrendered Christian. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit came in to live inside your spirit and to communicate with it and try to guide it. But we still have free will, and we can do what we want to do. Now, that's what the Isaac brother said. But, you know, we still got to give in and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you lead and guide me. I need your help. I don't know what to do in this situation. So that's why we need to add knowledge, we need to add goodness, we need to add self-control, because that body will take over in a heartbeat and leave. And that's why so many Christians get in trouble, even though they got 400 and 500 degrees and they do this and got churches and ministries, they still fall short because they did not add that wonderful gift and virtue called self-control. And then it says, and these are strengths. They're virtues. They're strengths. It says, add endurance. You got to be able to hold. Once you get self-control, you got to still be able to hold on and continue in your walk, because every day something's going to happen, or sometimes not every day, but many times you're going to be challenged to quit. I've seen so many people. They quit churches everywhere. They go to this church and they stay a while and they quit. They go to this, they quit. They quit on their husbands, they quit on their wives, they quit on their kids, they quit their going to school, they quit. They just quit. They're quitters. And God didn't make us that way. He said you're going to have self-control. Once you got self-control, you got to add to that the ability to stay and to have stick-to-itiveness and to hold on to his unchanging hand. And he's the only one can help you to endure. And every one of these gifts and virtues God is wanting for you to help, for you to develop, you have got to learn how to not quit, to keep going around the mountain, to keep on studying, to take the test, so you can pass the test. Amen. That's good preaching. I'm glad I like it. Amen, Walls. Hallelujah. All right, verse 7. I'm trying to get through this. I know I'm speed reading. I'm speeding through it. 7. To your godliness, add Christian affection. Now, wow. Now, you got all these wonderful gifts of patience and endurance and self-control, and you're able to leap tall mountains at a single bound. But if you have no love and affection, if you're not a sweet-spirited person, who's going to want to be around you in the first place? Not me. Amen. But I'll love you anyhow. But I don't like mean-spirited Christians. I don't. It's a oxymoron, to be honest about it. It's a anathema. It's a curse, and it's a lot of Christians, a lot of churches where you go to. I talked to someone today, and they said they went to this church and they just did not feel welcome, and it's like they got their own little country club. And don't you come in here bringing your problems in here. You just go find some other church, and that's going on right here in the place where I live. So we need to be in prayer about this thing, about becoming affectionate. That means loving. That means being loving to people, being warm-spirited, not cold-hearted. That's what God asks of us. And to your Christian affection, add love. Wow. Now, what is love? Love is when you, that's a whole another level. Each one goes up to another level of power in regards to how much we surrender to God. To be able to have love, you must be able to know the heart of God. You must have surrendered to Him enough that you allow His love to flow through you. That's why we need this self-control, and we need holiness for God to come inside of us and live through us. We keep ourselves clean enough that He can use us as a vessel. He can't use a dirty glass to drink out of. He can't use dirty gloves as a surgeon. He can't put his hands inside a dirty glove and use it to perform major surgery. He needs a glove that is surrendered, a glove that's not going to try to do the surgery itself, but one that's clean and ready to be used by the master surgeon. So that's why it's so important for us to have affection and love, be loving and kind, and to add this thing called love, which allows us to be so surrendered that God can love. In the Bible, it's called agapeo, or agape. And then 8, it says, these are the qualities you need, and if you have them in abundance, wow, that means you got to keep on developing. You can't just gain insight at one time and just learn endurance, and then you're through with it. You have to keep on growing, because if you don't grow, you're gonna go blind. You're gonna become blind, and that's what they're saying right here. If you have these things in abundance, they will make you active and effective in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 9, but there's that conjunction, that big little word. But if you do not have them, you are so short-sighted. That means you're nearsighted. That you can't, that you cannot see and have forgotten that you have been purified from your past sins. You cannot see. You don't have any spiritual insight. You don't have any spiritual knowledge. You're in the dark. You're spiritually ignorant. Darkness is ignorance of God. And God does not want anyone in the dark. You can choose to be dark. There are people who choose to not know God. I met a guy not too long ago. He said, I don't even want to know who God is. I don't want to be a part of God. I don't want God to be a part of me. I want to do what I want to do. And I don't even want to hear about Him. And I said, okay, brother, but I'm going to keep praying for you. And I'm going to give you my card, so when you change your mind, you can call me. 10, so it says, so then, friends, try even harder to make God's call and His choice of you a permanent experience. If you do so, you will never abandon your faith. In this way, you will be given the full right to enter the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. I'm starting to read this thing really close. You know, I've been trying to stick with the Lord and read as much as I can every day. But sometimes I look at these eternal kingdoms and what God is asking. It seems like there's three circles. There's the inner circle, a thinner circle, and an outer circle in regards to how much people want to love the Lord. The inner circle are those like Peter, James, and John, who they walk close with Christ. Every day they were with Him. They saw all the great miracles, of the transfiguration. They saw all these wonderful things. The other disciples, I don't know where they were, but there's another group of those who are part of the thinner circle, who are they love the Lord, but they really are kind of lukewarm. They kind of like, I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved, I want to go to heaven. I want a mansion. I want all this good stuff. But I really don't want to do too much in the church. I don't want to do too much for the Lord. I just want to kind of be comfortable. I want to be able to watch my football. I want to be able to do my thing and enjoy my life, drink my beer. I mean, you know, drink my soda pop with the foam on top. I just want to kick it with my friends and, you know, tell a bad joke every once in a while. Just do my, you know, be an average, normal Joe, but I'm saved. Well, okay. And then there's the outer circle. Those are Christians that are just plain outright low-down, dirty, nasty sinners that are doing everything they think they're big enough to do. They're the ones who allow their bodies to be in charge. And when you do that, what it does, it brings you to the point where eventually, as it says here, you'll become forgetful. And then you almost, even chapter 9, says you'll almost get to the point where you even forget about that you were even saved. And I don't want that to happen to anybody. And I'm reaching out now to everyone who is on that cusp. You're kind of like in that thinner circle. The inner circle, I'm not preaching to you guys. You guys know what I'm talking about. The thinner circle, you might be at home right now. You said, well, I don't feel like going to church. I know about it. But I'm going to do my thing, and I'll get right when God says. When I get around 65, I'll get right. You don't know if you're going to make it to 65. Amen, Walls. You don't know if you're going to make it to tomorrow. So anyway, I love you. I got to shut it down. But I love you, and please, 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 grow so that you don't go blind. God bless you.